Father, we truly do thank you for being with us this night. I thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing. I am the Lord God Almighty, and I change not. I come into your midst each and every time you gather together. I come to show you my glory. I come to shower you with my love and my fire and my grace and my mercy. I want you to know, my children, that you are. You are the very light in a dark, dark place. And I'm asking you this night to let your light shine brighter than it did even 2 hours ago. The world is growing darker. The world is growing dimmer. The light is going out. And I need my churches to reignite this light. I need my churches to gather together. And I need my churches to honor me. This is the hour that I, the Lord thy God, that I am looking to and fro, searching for those who will follow me with all of their heart and never give in to the wiles of the evil one. My children, you have to be smart in this hour to outwit the evil one. You have to be so close to my heart that the enemy can't tell us apart. And your light, it must shine. It must grow brighter and brighter and brighter. I have been drawing the prodigals unto myself in this hour. And I am calling them and wooing them and asking them to come back into my loving arms. And children, when the prodigals come home, you must receive them with open arms and you must love them. You cannot hold against them what they have done, but you must love them, for you never know what you will do in the near future. When the enemy truly comes at you with everything that he has, he's going to hurl all of hell at you, and you are not really ready to receive what he has, the download that he has for you. So children, right now, this second, determine your heart that your light is going to grow brighter and brighter and brighter, and the enemy is not going to dim it in any way, shape, or form. Some of you do not know me as a great I am, but I still am the great I am. Some of you still curse me in the privacy of your rooms and your homes and even in your workplaces. You curse me and you speak all manner of evil and you use your tongue to speak forth the enemy's words. My children, I say unto you this night, woe unto you, for you are near to death. You are near to coming to the place where there is no return back to me, your Father. But I have been working and wooing and loving, and this is your last call. A new generation I am bringing forth, and I have told you and told you and told you that I am raising you up to lead, guide, and direct this new generation. But if you don't want this, so be it. I, the Lord thy God, will take my Holy Spirit, and I will lead, guide, and direct this new generation in the path of holiness and righteousness. I have spoken, and so shall it be. There has to be a determination in your heart of hearts this night that you're going to follow me with all of your heart and never look to the right nor to the left. And what you left behind is behind, and you are looking forward to what I am bringing you into. It's not about what you left or what somebody did to you in the past. It's what you need to be looking forward to what I'm taking you into. And what I'm taking you into is eternal truth, eternal light. And one day you will sit in heavenly places with me. You need to quit playing your games. You need to quit playing your games. It never was a game. This is a very serious thing that you are in. But you think it's a game and you're still playing games. Game time is over and you need to put away your toys and you need to follow me with all of your heart. I've told you to love the unlovable, but no, you won't do that. You get behind closed doors and you speak about the ones that I love, the ones that I am bringing forth. You're speaking curses over their lives, and I am having a hard time bringing them forth in all their fullness. I can do all things. But when you open your mouth and you curse them, then I have to send my angels to fight the demonic angels that you have sent forth to destroy them. So watch what you say, because I am also behind your closed doors, and I hear all things, and I know all things. Father, we truly do thank you for speaking to us this night and giving us warning that we are near the end of the shaking, and whatever was shaken is shaken, and whatever couldn't be shaken won't ever be shaken again. And I thank you, Father God, as we sit in your presence tonight, that your Holy Spirit will speak to your children. And Father God, the things that you started during praise and worship, I'm asking you to finish this night as the service goes forth. And we just thank you for your precious Son, Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your angelic host, who always comes to our assistance when we ask. Tonight, I want you to listen very intently to what I am saying. Now, what God is saying, because this is a prophetic word from God, I want you to listen to what he's saying, and I don't want you fooling around, because God needs your undivided attention tonight. I entitled this Harvest and Legions, but this is what God said: the time of the great harvest is upon you, and the legions of hell are screaming death to all those who carry the mark of the Father. You see that? Satan has marked you to kill you if you truly carry the name of the Father. And Revelation 7 says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea." And this is what he was said: "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Remember, up here God said the devil's after those who are marked by the Father. What do you think is holding back the destruction that is going to come on the earth sooner than we think? It's this right here. "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." God is still shaking. He's still calling. And when all that's done, then we're going to start seeing a lot of destruction upon the land. There are three things that mark a child of God. Number one, the bestowal of sonship, the hope of sonship, and the manifestation of sonship. The bestowal of sonship is the act of being made a child of God. The hope of sonship is the anticipation and assurance of the divine relationship. The manifestation of sonship is the outward expression of this relationship in one's life. I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people in the house of God that claim to love God, but they don't have the manifestation of sonship. Because it is the outward expression of this relationship in one's life. People can tell whether or not you really serve God. They're watching your actions or listen to your words, and you are proven either you are a child of God or you're a wannabe child of God who still wants to be in the world and still wants God to bless them. All right, God's love marks a child of God. 1 John 3:1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." Do you want to know why the world doesn't like you? Do you want to know why the world talks about you and criticizes you? Because they know, they see the love of God on you, and they see how much God loves you and how much God blesses you, and they hate you because God loves you. And they will try everything in their power to tear you down. Are you listening here? It is God's love that leads him to bestow upon us the privilege of sonship. This act of divine love, which the world may not understand, is what sets us apart as his children. Whether you believe it or not, the ones that come here all the time, you are set apart for the works of the Father. And God does love you with every fiber of his being. And the enemy knows it's an enemy's trying to kill you in every way possible that he can. He's thrown every kind of stumbling block at you that he has. And he's trying to stop you. And he's just furious with you because at one time you belonged to him who hated you. And now you had the audacity to move over into God's territory. And God loves you unconditionally. And the enemy can't stand you. And some of you are so dumb. Not you, Tion, just because I'm looking at you. Some of you are so dumb that you give in to the wiles of the enemy. And you're not even realizing that he hates you. And he's trying to draw you back into his slimy pit. This is what God said next. My people are marked for such a time as this, and they have been schooled by the deepest trials and tribulations that are known to man. They have withstood the times of severe hardship when all they could do was sit and cry, why me? Lord, why? I could not whisper a word. I had to stand by and watch. Just as I had to stand by and watch my son Jesus suffer and then go to the cross. My son Jesus also cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you'll find that in Matthew 27:46. How many times have you in your walk with God, you've cried out to God, God, why? Why do I have to go through this? Why aren't you coming like you promised and getting this thing together? Jesus said the very same thing when he was at the crucial time of his life. God never forsook Jesus. We all know that. Then God goes on to say, my heart bled and still is bleeding for my children. But I have to allow them to be tested to the limit to prove they are mine. And nothing will deter them from the path I have set before their feet. Just about the time you think you have your feet on solid ground, here comes another trial. God said, my children suffered slander, the loss of loved ones, jobs, financial collapse, and even sickness in their bodies. But they are determined that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And you'll find that in Isaiah 54:17. And then Job, God told us, 3 years ago that we were all going through a Job experience. And we know that Job lost everything, but he never quit God. He was the richest man in the world. And he lost everything. His wife, his children, all everything he owned. Job 1:7 says, and the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Then Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who reverently fears God and abstains from and shuns evil because it is wrong. Now, who said that to Satan? God said, have you considered? Remember I taught about that? Satan was looking for somebody he could torment. And so when he was going before God, God said, have you considered Elisha? Now look what 9 says, picking on you, Elisha. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job reverently fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have conferred prosperity and happiness upon him in the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, the adversary and the accuser, behold, all that he has in your power, only upon the man himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we read what everything that the Satan did to Job. And Job went through some trying times. He questioned God. And read it in Job. It's very interesting. And whenever God told me that I was going through Job experience, and then he said the whole church is going through the Job experience, we studied that. Job stayed true to God. That's what you have to do. Through all your trials and all your tribulations, you have to stay true to God. And God didn't stop him from touching Job. The only thing he can't do is kill him. And remember, that's what God told me. Satan's coming after you because he asked for you. And he said he can do everything but kill you. And he will. And, you know, God has to stand by, like he said here. He has to stand by and watch this. Because he's proven to Satan that you are his child. And no matter what Satan does to you, you're not going to leave God. Yeah, see, if you can just remember that, it'll give you strength to keep moving on with God, even though there's times your knees will buckle. You'll still go on with God, no matter what. And you'll lose everything, everybody. But you know that your God is able. But if you read the end of Job, he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. He even had a more beautiful wife and more beautiful daughters. And you know, everything was restored to him. So hang in there. Hang in there, because God told us, that everything that the palmer and cankerworm has stolen from us, he has to return back 100-fold. That's quite a bit, isn't it? God goes on to say, these mighty warriors were isolated on the backs. He's talking about us, you know, the remnant churches. These mighty warriors were isolated on the backside of the desert for a season as they were being trained in spiritual warfare. Isn't that what we were going through? But I have brought them to the forefront as I promised. Remember, God told us we're on the front line. They are angry, tired of the gross darkness, and ready to defeat the enemy at every turn and harvest the lost souls. God said, children, I guarantee you that you have never been in the type of warfare arrayed around you at present. How many of us older people can say amen? Maybe some of you younger people could say amen. So what did he say? I guarantee you that you have never been in a type of warfare arrayed around you at present. Now, unity must be in position and love the sure foundation. So he said there is no other way to win this battle. So if you're not in unity and you're not walking in love, you can't win the battle that the enemy has against you. You know, this church, I'm trying to get this church to walk in unity and love. But what about in your homes? Where's the unity? Where's the love? Why is all the backbiting going on? Why is all the slander going on? Why are you not prospering? You need to ask yourself that. Why are you not prospering? And it's because you're not walking in unity and not walking in love. God said, never say, I can't do this. How many of you said that? God, I just can't do this. This is too hard. Never say, I can't do this. I have been training you for over a decade for this time in church history. You had the very best training, and I left no stone unturned in the classroom of hard knocks. I thought that was neat. How many of you know you've been in a classroom of hard knocks? How many of you know about the time you thought the battle was over, here comes another battle? You didn't even hardly have time to take a deep breath. And like God, remember I told you, God told me last week, don't you see what's going on? The enemy's bringing something from here, something from here, something here, just arraying all around about you. You bring this stuff into your mind to try to confuse you and get you off course so you don't hear my voice. And isn't that what happened to you? He just sends stuff in from all directions. And we can't blame the people. And I'll just say me. I, for one, forget that every now and then, 99.9% of the time. I forget that I'm not warring against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of hell. All right? God said, there are so many things in the fire at this given time. Truth, the greatest harvest of souls in church history. Fragmented families, love versus hate, the election of the century looming before you, the battle for our children, the struggle of false identity, the desecration of marriage as man and woman, the Antichrist and the second coming of my son Jesus, and the tribulation. These are all the things that God says looming before us right now. Questions. This is what God, he's asking you a question. At what stage is your love walk? I want you to answer that right now to yourself. At what stage is your love walk? God said, how full of the Holy Spirit are you at all times? Have you given me 100% of yourself, or is there some flesh you are hanging on to because it gives you pleasure? I'm going to step into some of your shoes, and I really don't care. You all think that pot is the best thing going, but God told me pot is going to destroy this country. He told me that years ago when they started legalizing it. He said, this is another weapon of the enemy to destroy my children. Everybody thinks pot does great things to you. Well, you just wait and see what it does to you in the very end. That's all I'm going to say, because I say enough about it other times. All right, God said, if you are all in, then the enemy is all out. But if you hold on to 1%, the enemy can mark you with death. If you are all in, then the enemy is all out. But if you hold on to 1%, the enemy can mark you with death. The outcome is yours. God spoke that. That's the end of my teaching, but that's all that God said, all right? God spoke to us at the beginning, too, and I was shocked that he did that. But what he said was right on. Of course, it's God. I hope that you took that word into your spirit. If you didn't, and if you want, Adriana will make you a copy of it. In fact, she can give you a copy of this whole thing, can you not? I want you people to understand you are in a very, very, very bad danger zone right now. You have to determine with every fiber of your being what you're really going to do with the rest of your life. Now, God told me a while back that we were going to become a working church, and he's been having you guys hold these seminars. So that's the beginning of the working church. And then he's also said he's going to bring in the greater works in here, and there's going to be great signs, wonders, and miracles. With all of that, the enemy is fighting us with everything he has. He fights each one of us individually, and then when we come together as a corporate battle, and we feel the results of it. If we aren't walking in love with one another and in unity with one another, the enemy's going to win the battle in your life. I'm not going to say mine, in your life. We have to determine tonight. God called the Lighthouse Church forth. He has a specific plan and purpose for it. Everything I've ever asked God to give me, I now have in this church. So God is on the throne, and God is not going to change. We have to do the changing. If there's something that's wrong around us, then we have to do the changing. We have to take it to God and ask him to cleanse us and purify us. And that one day in here was something about the water, washing us with the water or something. And I just read a prophetic word where God said, I'm coming and I'm washing my people clean. So, you know, God spoke to us about that one service we just had, something about washing. And then here somebody else comes along with a prophetic word saying, you know, God said, I'm washing my people clean. God is doing everything step by step by step. What does the word say? Line upon line, precept upon precept. He doesn't get ahead of himself. You all try to get ahead of God. And you know, I might tell somebody I'm going to do something, which I do. This is what I plan to do. So they're waiting for me to tell them when I'm going to do it. And it wasn't God's plan. You know, he didn't want to, I mean, he wants me to do it, but not now. And I say, I have to wait until God gives me the green light to go ahead and do what he's put in my heart to do. And each one of you have to do the same thing too. He might give you a plan, but you can't carry it out until he said, okay, now's the time. How many of you know that there's been times in your life you want to talk to somebody about something, but you just can't quite do it? When you go to them, it doesn't come out. But then all of a sudden one day, boop, out it comes. When you don't even think about it, it's because your timing is not the same timing as God's. And he wants everything done on his timing. Now, God is saying right now that you have to reverence him. You just can't talk about him. You have to reverence him. And he has to be the most important thing in your life. And if he's the most important thing in your life, then hello, Job. Because you will go through a Job experience. He'll strip everything from you. And it depends on what you do as you go through that Job experience, if God returns everything back to you again or not. And, you know, as I think, I hope you all think about what's been going on down through the last 10 years. As I think about it, I think about how myself, I went down into a valley, and then I had to get myself out of the valley. You know, and different things, I watched as different things happen in the world. And, you know, and you have to put all these things into perspective and understand that Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when. I really don't. The Bible tells you only God himself knows when he's going to send Jesus back. And so I'm not going to say like some people he's going to come back in April or May or June or in 2 months. We don't know that. But God says in his word, we continue to work until he does come. We just don't sit. I don't know if he's like me. When I got born again, you know, I canceled all my insurance policies. I did all that kind of dumb thing, just knowing Jesus was going to come and rapture me away. Then I found out, oh, well, God said, you know, you're in the world, you have to live in the world until I take you on home. So, you know, whatever dumb thing you did, undo it and just go ahead about your daily business. And when it happens, because if you read about the rapture, really, nobody knows the time or the hour. And all of a sudden, you know, two will be in the bed, one will be going. You know, two will be in the field, one will be gone. I never read where it says two will be gone. It says one will be gone. What God is trying to do with us right now in this dispensation of time before the greater works begin is to get us to the place where we have truth hidden within our heart. We know exactly who we serve, why we serve him. We know exactly who we are in him. Remember, that's one thing that I know, that I know, that I know I'm a child of God. And so you have to get to that place too, and I hope you have. I've taught you that over and over and over again. That's why the enemy can't take me out, because I know who I am, and I know what he can do, and I know what he can't do. And I know that my God does not want me to suffer, but when Satan comes to him, well, go ahead, let me do this to her. I'll show you she's going to fall. And so God has to prove that I'm a child of God. He has to prove that to Satan. And so he lets me go through the trials and the tribulations. But some of the things you go through aren't from God or Satan. It's just you being dumb. You know, so don't say, oh, well, God, I'm being tested by Satan. No, you're not. You're just being dumb and being who you are. A little bit on the stupid side. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. If you're letting the devil run your life, that's what it is. It's stupidity. And, you know, and you can't do that. Now, we're all excited. We're just going to minister this harvest of lost souls coming in. Are you really? Are you really strong enough to minister to their demons? People have huge demons in them right now. I mean, they aren't no little small things that we used to deal with. They are huge. And they're going to come at you with everything that hell has, because that demon found a good home and he wants to stay there. Now, if you're not strong in the Lord, and if you don't know who you are, that demon's going to beat you up. You know, I have demons in my house, and I tell them, I say, I'm not scared of your demons. I'm not scared of you. I have angels on assignment, and all I have to do is call on them. Are you listening? You know why the enemy can get a hold of you? It's because you don't call on your angels. And sometimes, I'm hearing God say, sometimes you call on the angels, and you call amiss, and you're not in right standing with God, so the angels don't have to come and help you. So there you go. I never knew that before. So get yourself in right standing with God. Then the angelic host has free will to come and help you. We're going to start seeing, I've seen different visions. I've been seeing different visions here in the church, just like the fire that came in here this morning. It was awesome. And, you know, I was telling somebody, people get up and leave, and that's fine, you know, whenever their sermon's over. They should stay till it ends, because God did a lot of things here this morning at the altar call. And you miss all that precious stuff that God wants to do in you and through you and for you. And you're too busy to hurry up and get it. Let's go get a cigarette. Let's go get a pot, smoke a pot, or let's go get a drink or whatever. Instead, you should be staying in the presence of God and just getting everything God has for us. Amen. Yeah, I was told, when Amy was working the, I call that the altar area this morning, they said, you saw it. I said, no, I never turned around and looked. It wasn't my show. You know, God told me he was going to use her and told me how. And so it's none of my business. I know she yields to God, and I know God was in control. And so she was just doing it. But I've heard a lot of good reports about what happened. So see, if you're in good standing with God and you're walking in the Spirit, God's in control. And like I said, when I was sitting up here, I know you. Some of you heard me stumbling around trying to get words out. The anointing left me just like that. And everybody said it did. And I said, when he was doing praise and worship, I said, God, why did I feel that and nobody else did? He said, because you're the leader and you're full of the Spirit, and I want you to know what's going on around about you. And he told me why that anointing left me like that. And when I walked down there, and Brother Allen took my hand, we both about went down a couple of times. And then that surprised me, because the anointing left me up here. And I'm just telling you, so you know when you're out there ministering what might happen to you. And see, if I didn't know who I am in Christ, I could have got discouraged and just can't, you know, said we're finished. But I knew God still was doing work. So then I walked around there and sat down. Then God started giving me the visions about people and the fire and everything. You can't stop working just because the enemy has attacked you, is what I'm getting at. What did he tell Paul? You know, Paul wanted, cried out to God, get rid of this thing, get rid of this thing. And God said, you do my work and I'll take care of your little thorn in your flesh. And all of a sudden, one day, and Paul did to God's work, and all of a sudden that thing that was tormenting him was gone. But we concentrate on the thing all the time, and what it's doing to us, and not on God. And God's working on families right now, and I can guarantee you most of your families are worse right now than they were before. Before God tried to work on it. Why? Because the enemy does not want families to exist. And you know we are who we are in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of looking on the TV and seeing homosexuals and lesbians and, you know, and all that kind of junk. They don't even have regular families on TV. It's not worth watching. It's junk. And they're teaching this to our children. You know, mothers and fathers, we need to be praying. You know, if you would just get your mind on God, he'd keep you so busy praying, you wouldn't have any time to stick your nose in somebody else's business. You really wouldn't. Because you're too busy doing the works of the Father.